Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
We've been looking at seven cures for anxiety that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6. And number seven we come to today, trusting God. And you know you trust God when you can pray with thanksgiving. But how can you pray with thanksgiving when you know God might say no to your prayer? The warrior is, in essence, looking at today's suffering and saying, nope, not enough. I've got to have more. Give me today's suffering and tomorrow's suffering. Both, I got to have it all right now. You know what this is? It's trouble greed. Greedy for more trouble. Give me more. Give me today's. Give me tomorrow's. I want it all now. And Jesus said, no, you can't have it now. You have enough suffering right now. You have to be content with that. You're not allowed to have any more. You have to wait till tomorrow for tomorrow's suffering. I say it that way and you think, this is ridiculous. Why do we even need preaching about this? Who would want to do this? Why is my heart greedy for pain? I don't like pain. So why am I greedy for it? What's the matter with me? What motivation pushes somebody to want to scuttle God's schedule so that I can have double pain? Well, the answer is actually this. Anytime you find yourself reaching from the passenger side over to the driver's side and taking the wheel, it's because you think that the one in the driver's seat can't be trusted, doesn't know what he's doing, and needs your help. It's because you don't trust the driver. That's why we do this. That's why we want to sneak ahead into the future. We don't trust God to go ahead of us. Which brings us to the seventh cause of anxiety. Jesus calls warriors, O you of little faith, at the end of verse 30. O you of little faith. And then he goes on to say in verse 31, so do not worry, saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? For the pagans run after these things. When you worry about earthly provision, you're impersonating a pagan. You're impersonating an unbeliever, somebody who has no faith. They run after that stuff because they don't have a Father in heaven who's promised to take care of them. They can't trust anybody to take care of them, and so they have to run after that stuff. So when we worry, we are acting like pagans. We are impersonating people who do not believe. You know, for them, worry actually makes sense if you think about it. I mean, they got plenty to worry about. It makes perfect sense to be worried if you just have no creator, no protector, no father, and you're just dangling in this inexplicable universe with no purpose or meaning. Then, yeah, it makes sense to worry. But for us, worry is irrational. Because in Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And when Jesus tells us not to do something because that's what the unbelievers do, then doesn't that imply that we are to be different from the world? Noticeably different from the world? So you ask yourself, when something painful or annoying or hurtful or irritating or scary pops up in my life, is my reaction to that fundamentally different from what it would be if I were not a Christian? Is your reaction to hardship and trouble significantly different than what it would be if you were an unbeliever? Or is it essentially the same? We're to be different. We're to follow the advice of Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6, and he says, don't be anxious about anything. Same word, that word anxious, same word translated worried in Matthew 6. Don't be worried, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Your heart will be flooded with inexplicable peace when you pray with thanksgiving. You say, pray with thanksgiving? That doesn't make sense. Don't you pray first, wait for an answer, then give thanks? No. No. You pray with thanksgiving right off the bat, before the answer comes. You say, wait a second, what if he doesn't give me what I'm asking for? Exactly. That's the point. You pray. You say, God, I'm asking for this thing. Grant me, please, grant me my request. But whatever you decide to do, God, whether you give me a yes or a no or a maybe or a wait or whatever, I thank you for what that answer is going to be. I don't know what it's going to be, but whatever it is, I'm thanking you for it right now because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it will be what's best. I trust you. I lost my wallet. God, help me find my wallet if that's what's in your plan. But if not, if you're going to say no, then I thank you that I'm not going to find my wallet because finding it would be a bad thing because you only do what's best. And you pray like that. You pray with thanksgiving. You spend time thinking about God only does what's best. He controls everything, decides everything that ever happens, and only does what's best. And you think about that and think about that. You think that that's what He's going to do in response to this prayer, and that bubbles out of your heart in genuine thanksgiving. You just become thankful that you can count on Him, that whatever He's going to do is going to be best. You offer Him that, then you're praying with thanksgiving, and your faith will be strengthened, and the peace of God will take over in your heart. So just focus on this day, this hour, and get through it by faith. Live by faith. Use faith. Lean on God's promises. Rest in what He said. You know, we talk a lot about faith in general. You know, people say, oh, I have faith in God, and it's just kind of this general thing that has no real definition. Or I have faith in the resurrection of the dead and the second coming and the rapture and all, you know, just this big stuff way in the future. But they've got faith in God in general, but not in particular. I trust you for the huge things far away, but I can't trust you for the little things right now. I think the solution for a lot of worriers is just simply learn how to trust God, not just in general, but in particular. Learn what it means to trust God from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. What does that look like? For a 60-minute period to lean on some promise that will help you through that hour. When are your troubles? When do your things hit you? When is it hard for you? 6 in the morning? Noon? 7 o'clock at night? 2 a.m. when you're lying in bed, you can't sleep? Whatever, you need to learn what it looks like to cling to the promise of God and trust Him for a period of 60 or 90 minutes. Trust Him in particular. You need to have faith. And you say, well, that's bad news because I evidently have little faith. Microscopic faith. So does that mean all kinds of terrible things are going to happen to me? I can't trust God now to take care of me because I've got such little faith? Actually, no, it's the exact opposite. This is what's really amazing that hit me this week. Notice that Jesus is telling people with little faith that they don't have anything to worry about. Isn't that great? Even if you've got tiny, worthless, cheesy, little, lame faith, you still don't have anything to worry about. Because God takes care of it. Even His weakest children. He doesn't say to you, oh, you got little faith, so watch out, you got something to worry about. It's just the opposite. Even the babies in the family and the sick and the weak in the family are fed and clothed by the Father just as much as everybody else. So even people who are rebuked for having little faith have nothing to worry about. Little faith doesn't negate any of God's promises to meet your needs. All it does is just destroy your peace. You still get all your needs met, you just don't have any peace. You know, when the disciples panicked in the storm, in the boat, and thought they were going to drown, their little faith didn't make the boat sink, right? It just made the trip really miserable. Boat did fine.
Think of two or three of your greatest fears or anxieties, and spend some time presenting your requests about those things to God with thanksgiving. Genuine, heartfelt gratitude to God for however He's going to answer those prayers. Thank Him that you can trust Him to do what's best, no matter what it is.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.